at her father's house and lived affection for them. Tears fell from her eyes. Shaking and very much of regret, she looked at her downfallen husband, Lord Shiva, as if she were going to blast him with her vision. The word Apati Purusham used in this verse means one who has no equal. Lord Shiva has no equal in the material world in regard to equality towards everyone. His wife Sati knew that her husband was equal towards everyone. So why in this case was he so unkind to his wife that he did not allow than she could tolerate, and she looked at her husband as if she was ready to blast him with a vision. In other words, since Lord Shiva is Atma, Shiva also means Atma, it is indicated here that Sati was prepared to commit suicide. Another meaning of the word Apriti Purusha is the personality who has no rival. Since Lord Shiva could not be persuaded to give her permission, Sati took shelter of woman's last weapon, weeping, which forces a husband to agree to the proposal of his wife. Om Gyanatimandasya Gyanandinashalaya Chakshuran Tandena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Avalokitam Sthapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Surabhantikam Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinavandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Vishradhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwanu Sute Devi Brahmani Haripriye Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutrave Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namire Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharite Devi Shesha Srinivasi Paschalite Sitarine Panchakalpaturvesta Kripasindhuve Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. According to yesterday's verse, this is another. This whole section is very interesting actually, where so many lessons can be learned in our daily, day-to-day devotee life also. And there are so many parallels it has from Bhagavad Gita in terms of how Mother Sati is approaching Lord Shiva and how Lord Shiva is replying to her, and then how she reacts and what the result comes and what can we learn from that. So previously in the third chapter there is a nice description on how Mother Sati approached Lord Shiva. We all know what the whole past time has happened, so many times it's been summarized, so I'll not go into the past time too much in detail. Just Lord Shiva was insulted by Daksha. When he was insulted by Daksha, after that Daksha was going to perform another yajna at this place. And now Mother Sati has got the information that his father is performing the fire sacrifice. So in the previous chapter, she approaches her husband with this desire that I want to go and visit my father's place. The interesting thing, something very important to learn for us also, is, and how she approached Lord Shiva was in ninth verse of the previous chapter. In her mind, she is fully convinced. She's very eager, very desperate to go and visit her father's place. But she comes to Lord Shiva and she says, "My dear Lord, if you desire, then we can go and visit our father's place."
Whereas if you see these verses, it's only a question, you know, what happened to that service business? Now she's ready to blast Lord Shiva via her vision, being so upset. Because he didn't say yes straight away. Next verse, which is tomorrow's verse, there the verse also talks about womanly weakness and the third one also talks about it. I'm very happy I'm not speaking on that. Luckily I got a verse before. We ourselves have so many weaknesses, it's hard to talk about other people's weakness. But something very interesting to learn from Mother Sati's approach. So many times we as devotees, we also approach devotees, other seniors or other, or our spiritual master, or those devotees whom we are taking guidance from. And the approach is very much, the decision is made, and we want them to say yes to that. Because once that is done, then it's easy for us to feel that we have permission. So Mother Sati is approaching her husband. But she didn't say to Lord Shiva, tomorrow morning I am leaving to my father's place, would you like to join me? She's literally saying, if you wish, my lord, we can go together. And because of that relationship which is so intimate between Lord Shiva and Mother Sati, which in a parallel, if you see in a disciple and a guru, if that relationship is so intimate, so strong, there the guru can give instructions very clearly and very openly to the disciple. Or a senior devotee can give that instruction to the devotee who is asking him what is correct, what is not correct. So there are so many things to learn. How Mother Sati was approaching. If Mother Sati would have told Lord Shiva, tomorrow I am going such and such time, anyways I am going, if you want you can also come, then this whole chapter would not have come. Lord Shiva might not have instructed her in such a way. But because of her seeing her submissiveness, her approach, to take guidance, to take instructions, he spoke all these verses, explaining her how, what all implications she would have, or what all difficulties she would go through. You know, as devotees, as sometimes when we are dealing with new people, as a preacher, this is a very important thing to understand and for us also to digest, is that do not advise unless you are hired for. Many times there is a lot of excitement in devotees. They go on advising anyone and everyone they see, go on instructing, go on correcting even in temple. But if you are not the right person and no one has asked advice from you, unless you see that devotee is really going to be in bad shape, it's really going to be harmful for them, then you can politely give some advice. But if in general sense people are not asked to advise, then from devotee point of view, from person who is instructing, that point of view, we just don't go and start giving advices. So many times we see many senior devotees are there. They see all our some tiny many stupidity we do in temple. They see these mistakes are happening. But they understand this principle that their advice might not be taken very seriously because it's not being asked for. And from devotee who is seeking advice, their model or their action or their approach is also very interesting. Their approach is, it takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of years of effort and hard work from a devotee's point of view who is going to seek advice from a senior or spiritual master to maintain or develop that relationship where the other person knows that the advice will be respected or the advice will be taken seriously. Disagreements are always allowed. If some confusion is there, we disagree, then, one time Anuradha was saying a very interesting statement he made. He was saying when your spiritual master asks you, jump from building, Disciple should not question, why should I jump? This question should be, how high you want me to jump from? So that inquiry is nice to have. How you wanted to do the service, I can't understand. What are you trying to explain? It doesn't fit in my system. That inquiry, that questioning is nice. But the inquiry, the question, or the question we pose of why, that gives an impression to the other person, can give to other devotee or spiritual master that, okay, he's not ready yet to be instructed. This is something. Now coming to this chapter and the previous verse, we see at the end of last chapter, Lord Shiva has given complete instructions to Mother Sati. He has told so clearly that if you are not respected, you are such a respectable woman, if you are not respected the way you should be, it is equal to death. I don't think so. This much clearly he would have given us direct. He could have told her the future that you might commit suicide or you might kill yourself. So Lord Shiva, as the Lord, as such a powerful personality, he knew what exactly is going to happen. This is a very amazing thing. Similarly, it's exactly seen in Bhagavad Gita also, where Lord Shiva knew what implications or what trouble Mother Sati was going to get herself into. He knew what's going to happen. He could see the future. Knowing that also, none of his statements in Bhagavatam we see is very forcefully putting pressure on Mother Sati and restricting her from her actions. None of the statements are like that. So, even though he gave very wise instructions, very clear instructions, there was a sense of detachment even while giving those instructions, and he left the decision in Mother Sati's hand. That freedom, the free will, he never took away. I am husband, I am not sure. How can you dare say no to me? You can't do it. So, this is personally, I observe many of other devotees have also observed that even a spiritual master or seniors, when the instructions comes to us, it comes as a suggestion. And it's our intelligence to catch the suggestion and act on it. But if we develop an intimate relationship, then instructions come very clearly also. But still, the spiritual master never forces the disciple. In Bhagavad Gita, in 18th chapter, last few verses, this nice description is there. In verse 58 onwards, where Krishna says, Machita sarva durgani mat prasada parishyasi atha yet chet tvam ahankaram na soshyasi vinakshasi. Translation: if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So very clear. Nothing can be so clear. He's saying, if you follow me, perfection is yours. If you don't hear me, you'll be lost. And then immediately next verse, he says, if you do not act according to my directions and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. It's like very direct instruction. If you do not follow my instructions, you will be lost. And you will be falsely directed. This is verse 59. Then in between a couple of verses, Tarunpeth is explaining how he is Paramatma situated in everyone's heart. But then he says, this 63rd verse is very instructive for us. He says, Iti te jnanam akhyatam guhyat guhyataram maya vimrasya etat asyeshena yatha ichyasi tatha guru. He says, thus far I have given you, explained you all the knowledge. Jnanam akhyatam, I have explained, I have told you all the knowledge. Guhyat guhyataram maya, I have not given you just the secret, I have given you the secret of the secret. So deep knowledge I have already given you so far. Vimrasya etat asyeshena, deliberate on it fully. Take your time, think. Any questions? Krishna was ready to speak Bhagavad Gita again to Arjuna. He said, you think, you take your time, completely think about it, but the last line what Krishna says, that shows his greatness. He said, jatha ichasi tatha guru. Whatever you wish, you do that way. And few verses before he is saying, if you don't follow me, you will be lost. And just after that he is saying, whatever you wish, you do. So, spiritual masters or devotees also follow the same principle. You know, it's easy to say, if a child is going towards fire, anyone can say, any little experienced person can say, after that you will just hear the cries of the child, you know it will happen. You know, sometimes kids are doing candle, you know, by the time and they reach, wax is going to burn their fingers. There are chances they will try. Any person who is observing can say that. So spiritual masters or seniors, they, with their experience, they know such action is going to lead to such result. Huh? But you decide, you choose. So this similar pattern we see in Lord Shiva's pastime. Very similar is in Bhagavad Gita also, with the way Krishna approached. Here. But what happened is, and that's why I was very happy that tomorrow's verse I'm not doing, because Mother Sati chose the other way. Arjun chose Krishna's instructions, she chose to go. And that's where the next purport very, very strongly hits on womanly weakness. That's, I think Surup Shakti Mataji is going to speak tomorrow about that. But in this purport, Prabhupada does mention one last line where Mother Sati started to cry, she starts to weep. And he says that Sati took shelter of woman's last weapon, weeping, which forces her husband to agree to the proposal of his wife. So, tears in Bhagavatam, if you see, the amount of, in the number of verses, the number of places, weeping or tears for devotees crying for the Lord or any other reason is mentioned is so many times. It's like hundreds of times it's mentioned. So, tears have maybe multiple roles to play. It can be either a man crying or a woman crying. That doesn't make a difference. Of course, the way I think the bodies are designed, female, they express their expression produces more tears than comparison to men. That's what it's, at least in outside world it's seen. Behind the doors, who knows who cries more? This is just the way the nature has designed the bodies. But the way to express is same in both the species, in both male and female. Whether it's sorrow, happiness, frustration, dissatisfaction, anger. I have my own aunt from childhood, we're in joint family, I've seen her. Even if she's glorifying someone, she cries. Even if she's happy about something, she has tears in her eyes. But even if she's upset or frustrated, I mean, she has tears in her eyes. As child, I used to make fun of her. You know, what is this? Is it a tap or something you turn on? Or every time you cry so quickly. But now we understand it's just a way of expressing. As we express in our way, emails they express in their way. So to make fun or laugh at that, I think it's pretty stupid. But it's just the way the bodies are designed. It's not something which is intentionally done. You know, science, they say they are shallow tear ducts or something. You know, even though water is there, for us it stays longer and for them it flows up. And so many reasons are there. But the way to express is there for both of us, male and female. We get angry, men, you know, straight away, they start swearing, they start getting physical, they start physically harming the other person. Females, they shed some tears. There is a big science behind it. I will not get into that, why it happens and how it happens. But to use some technique, whether it's man or female, to convince other person, and that too, which is harmful, that is not correct. To use a technique which we have, some men can be very diplomatic. They say something, they mean something, or they use certain types of words, and they know when I use certain types of words, the other person will be convinced. It's a similar tool. They have some tool which they try to use to convince the other person, which is harmful for them and the other person and the society at large. And if females are using their tears, which is producing a similar result, problem is there. So it's not the act, the action, but the intention, what happens with that action is the issue. And that's why Prabhupada is mentioning that as last weapon. If nothing works out, if no diplomacy, no talks, nothing works out, then Mother Sati, at the end, she used her tears. It's so amazing that in this verse it's saying she's shedding tears and she wants to blast Lord Shiva because he's not giving direct permission. Just 7 verses after, when she's already visited her father's place, father didn't welcome even the sister and mother, they came to welcome her. She was not satisfied because she wanted her father to welcome her. And she saw that her husband is not even respected at all. And that's where in the purport and in the verse also it mentions that her real purpose, within that purpose, was that she wanted to see whether her husband is respected or not. Because this should not be misunderstood that she only is, previous verses talks about that she just wanted to go and visit her family, just to be in with her family. She had that reason also in the further verses it comes. So when she saw that her husband is insulted, she was not feeling insulted for herself. Then she wants to burn his father by her vision. So in this verse she wants to burn Lord Shiva because she is not allowing her to go. And when she goes there, she wants to burn her father. So she's angry because her husband is not respected the way he should be. And that's why Lord Shiva was telling, don't go there. Just follow the instructions, just don't go there. He's such an amazing personality, Lord Shiva is. But even though knowing that, we can't just do it, we know our child is going to go somewhere. Today he's going to go to school and he's going to get injured, if a parent knows. And the child is pushing, forcing, and it can be a fatal injury. No parent will send. But here, Lord Shiva is really showing his detachment. He's such an amazing personality. Knowing what will happen, still he's not interfering with his wife's free will. So that free will which we have, and that's where the initial point we were discussing, that when Krishna doesn't interfere with our free will, why will spiritual master or seniors interfere with our spirit? They will not. But if we really work hard, then at least we can come to a stage where very clearly they can express their desire, their instructions. This is what is good for you, according to me or according to scriptures. Coming to Lord Shiva, how great a person he is. Because in Purport, just the Purport begins with glorifying Lord Shiva as Paprati Purusham, who has no rivals and no one is equal to him. And he is equal to everyone. So, if you see Lord Krishna, he took offense when Lord Brahma interfered with the pastimes of Brahma Vaikunth Lila, where Lord Krishna wanted to teach him a lesson. Now, here we are saying Lord Shiva knows past, present, future. Krishna didn't show, because Lord Shiva is very, very dear to Lord Krishna. He didn't take offense, demon was there who was blessed by Lord Shiva. If you touch someone's head, what is his name?
Vrikasura.
That you, and then you will be, your head will blast. He didn't take offense when Ravana was given all the powers. You know, Lord Shiva, you know past, present, future. Why did he give powers to Lord Shiva? Why did he give powers to Ravana? My wife was stolen. The whole Ramayana happened because wife was stolen, because you gave powers to Ravana. Very dear, very, very dear to the Lord. The reason is because in the previous chapters we saw Lord Shiva himself is saying that my consciousness is Vasudeva. My consciousness is completely absorbed in Vasudeva. My consciousness is fully Krishna conscious. I'm fully Krishna conscious. So that's Lord Shiva's position. This is a very nice pastime. There is a devotee, his name is Poonthanu from Guruvayur. Guruvayur is a temple in Kerala. Lord Krishna's deity is worshipped as Krishna, very popular temple there. So this Poonthanu, very great devotee, he was very, very popular because of his Bhagavad recitation. People were very, very keen to hear his Bhagavad recitation. They would just come and sit for hours to hear him. He was very popular because the way he would recite, he would really get into the pastime and very, very devotional personality. So he was visiting a temple in Kutiyur. It's in North Kerala. It's a predominating deity. There is Lord Shiva's deity. And that temple is open for only a few days in a year. So he was visiting that temple. So he visited the temple. The temple was open for those certain days. He took bath in the river and he took darshan of Lord Shiva's deity. And he was very, very satisfied, very happy doing that. And then he sat there and there were a lot of people overhearing. So he was reciting Bhagavatam there. He was reciting Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 60, where Lord Krishna is teasing Mother Rukmini. He's teasing Rukmini Devi that. Very interesting chapter, actually. By reading the chapter, hearing the chapter, you can understand that Krishna is the Rasaraj. He wants mellows of taste from so many angles. He relishes. So he is teasing his wife after he has grandchildren that time. So he is telling Rukmini, why did you marry me? You could have married Shishupal. Why you bother marrying me? And then he started criticizing him. One after another. He is criticizing his position. I don't know what is my varna, what is my ashram, I don't know. I was born Kshatriya, then I was a cowherd boy, you know, back Kshatriya again. Very difficult. Why you chose me? And he goes on and on and on. And finally, after hearing so much, when Krishna said, actually, I don't love you, you should go and marry Shishupal. You go and leave me and go to Shishupal. So hearing that, Mother Rukmini faints. And then Krishna immediately starts saying, no, I was joking. I was just teasing you. I wanted to see you in an angry mood. So he wanted to relish that emotion. So this Poonthanu was reading this pastime. He was doing Bhagavad Katha on this pastime. So many people would come to hear him. So then he finished that chapter and he kept the bookmark on the end of the chapter so that next day he can do chapter 61 wherever he was. So morning he began again next day and he saw the bookmark was again on chapter 60. So he started reciting that pastime again. Krishna giving Rukmini. And then the number of days he stayed there, the same thing was happening. The bookmark would come on the beginning of chapter 60. So he would just recite that all the days he stayed there, seeing its Lord's will or whatever the reason. And then, when the day is finished and the temple has to be closed for the next year, all the devotees they left, Poonthanu also left. They had to cross a river and come this side, so they went and then he crossed the river and then suddenly he remembered, oh, I forgot my Bhagavatam there. I didn't bring my Bhagavatam, so it's left in the temple. So this Poonthanu then, he came back, he crossed the river back again, and he came to the doors were closed. He was all alone, there was no one there because it's time to vacate the place. He he heard someone reciting Bhagavatam. And when he saw from the door, he saw Lord Shiva is reciting from Kuntanam's Bhagavatam to Mother Parvati. And all the Bhutaganas are also sitting, full, the team is there, full Lord Shiva, all followers are there. So he hears and he's stunned, he's shocked, because he's having been darshan of Lord Shiva. So then he heard the whole pastime from Lord Shiva's mouth, that whole chapter 60 from the 10th canto. And then after the Bhagavatam, the chapter was finished, Lord Shiva asked Mother Parvati, how did you like the recitation? Mother Parvati said, yeah, it was very nice, but not as good as Kunthanam's recitation. His was better. Lord Shiva said, yes, it was. I also liked his more. That's why every day I was putting the bookmark on the 60th chapter beginning, because I wanted to hear from him again and again and again. And when Kunthanam heard this, he was so stunned that he loudly shouted, Krishna! Or he would have said, Guruhari or something. His devotee. And then when he looked back, Lord Shiva, Mother Parvati, everyone disappeared. So that's Lord Shiva. The intensity he has, the desire he has to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to hear pastimes of Krishna, makes him so great. And of course, Mother Parvati, certain verses we see Mother Parvati, even this verse or the next verse, it appears that she's not acting very intelligent, but these are very great personalities. Just if you take one or two verses and start to make a judgment about them, it's a little problematic for us. They are completely under the desire of Lord, the way they act, to teach us such amazing lesson coming from this whole pastime of what we can do, how to approach, how to take instructions and how to follow those instructions. Wanted to share that. Hare Krishna. Any questions or problems if anyone has? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you so much for the gospel. I had two questions. The first one is how to keep faith in the words of the spiritual master if he instructs us and says, you know, that is for the benefit of us. It's going to be like, if you do it this way, then we'll benefit in our devotional service. And it could be a long term, but, you know, like, for example, you could, in 1 year, you heard these words, and in 1 year, you lose your job, you lose your family, and everything. Next year, you go travel with your spiritual master. Like, this just was the plan of Krishna. So how to keep faith in the words of spiritual master, and how to not lose your mind in the difficult situations when they come. And the second question is a bit opposite. Like, if you have a guru and a disciple, like whether it's a Shiksha Guru or a Diksha Guru, if disciple is keep, you know, like Lord Shiva gave an instructions to Mother Sati, and he said, if you do it this way, then you'll benefit. If you don't, then you will lose. And if disciple is always choosing the wrong way, what is the guru, like, what is the actions of guru in this situation? Does he keep doing, giving the advice and so on?
First question is, how to have faith in instructions of spiritual master.
How to keep that?
How to keep that faith or maintain it? And then, if with all the odds coming in your life, material problems, whatever comes to your life, still maintaining that same faith in Guru's words. One thing I would like to admit, because of the past time, I'm just sharing the point. When it comes to having faith in words of spiritual master, the struggle is same, maybe more than that. But phalam prachiyate. Many times devotees see, to do anything, to begin with anything, certain amount of faith is required. You know, otherwise, if we accept a spiritual master, or we are very, suppose we are very, very new devotees, and then we come and we see how the devotee lifestyle is, we start practicing Krishna consciousness, we chant in some rounds, and then we come to a stage where we are a little fixed in chanting 16 rounds, and we are maintaining our devotional standards. If you see ISKCON standard also, that's where the shelter test comes, where we first officially take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And while doing that, a devotee sees how those instructions, Srila Prabhupada has given the basic instructions in his book, basic chanting, following the four regular principles, how it's helping him. So what happens by that is when a devotee sees that how such things are changing his life, so initial instructions, which are the most valuable instructions of course, are changing his life, then the faith in the process and those who are strictly following the process, the faith increases. When that increases, that faith, the level of the faith goes higher, that's the time one chooses or comes to a stage that he decides or she decides, now I want to accept a spiritual master who can further guide me in my life. So that's why the system within our society is so well designed and nothing is haphazardly planned. That then also there is 1 year time minimum where one speaks to the spiritual master, takes some guidance, takes some instructions, put it in practice and see how it inspires him, how it helps in his devotional life. And the spiritual master is also having the same relationship with him. He is also testing. So what happens by that is when we sincerely try to put anything in practice in Krishna consciousness, always remember there are two things operating simultaneously. One is our own reactions which are coming to us. And the second is the Supreme Lord is also very eager to get us back. So all the facility are given to us through the devotees, through spiritual master, through institution, through the process, through books, everything. So many times we have a reverse issue. When problem comes in our life, most of us, we fail to put the blame on ourselves, because anything good or bad that's coming to you is the result of your own action. It has nothing to do with spiritual master's instruction. You losing your job, or you suffering from a disease, or some material calamity coming to you, your own reactions are coming to you. But simultaneously what's happening is, because you are very strongly holding on to your guru's instructions, your spiritual master's instructions, then you are developing a parallel you're having a parallel life which is running along with your karmic cycle, that is your devotional credits. Your devotional life is also building up. So of course Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if someone has surrendered unto me, I take away all the simple reactions, the final master. Aham tvam sarva papa vimoksha shamima sucha, 66 verse of Bhagavad Gita. Someone has taken shelter of me. We are in the process of taking shelter of Krishna. If a devotee in very beginning stages saying, now I'm chanting from last 8 months, I'm chanting 16 rounds, or from last 3 years, I'm chanting 16 rounds, why still suffering is coming to me? Then, as the Supreme Lord puts his own devotees in such situations, like Srila Prabhupada's life, we see. In Prabhupada's diary, we don't see complaint written. Your mission, your purpose, your books, everything for you I am doing, and still do heart attacks. What is this? But what they see? They see the Supreme Lord's hand in it. As my own pure devotee, advanced devotee, in his humility, they see my own reactions coming to me. And then according to that, they keep moving, they keep progressing and serving the Supreme Lord. And what has happened now is because of those two heart attacks which Prabhupada faced, he is glorified so many times because of those two heart attacks. And so many people develop faith in Srila Prabhupada because he didn't criticize or he didn't complain after those two heart attacks. We don't realize, but all these past times when we hear, they make a very strong impact on our consciousness in developing our faith to Srila Prabhupada. So Krishna puts his devotees through such phases where we can see for ourselves that how to actually progress in the cycle of faith. So now when coming on one-on-one scale, if we are having a relationship with our spiritual master, see, mind is going to interfere also. So ups and downs are going to come. And that's why it is said, for a devotee, Guru's instructions become his life and soul, because that's superior to mind. Life is superior to mind. Soul is superior to mind. No, it becomes him. And mind is separate from him. So, when spiritual master's instructions are seen in that direction, and it takes a level of purification, it takes a level of relationship. In Guru Puja, we read every day, what is it? Prema Bhakti Jamaite Abhidya Vinashana Adhyate. When there is Prema Bhakti, there is a loving relationship with the spiritual master. Then there is a very loving, friendly relationship with the spiritual master. If you love someone, you naturally will do anything for that person. You know, mother loves a child. It's so natural for just to go to any extent to do something. So that relationship with the disciple develops with the spiritual master, and that's the whole progress. That's the whole progress of one's life, where the relationship is being strengthened. We see so many Srila Prabhupada disciples now, after 40 years also. They are... If they don't have Prema Bhakti for Srila Prabhupada, if they don't have that love for Srila Prabhupada, how can they continue? Or whom are they continuing then? You know, to follow those instructions so strictly. I was recently hearing Indraguna Swami's lecture. He was saying, I took sannyas because Srila Prabhupada told me, preach boldly and have faith in the Holy Name. So to fulfill that instruction, that personal instruction which he got from Srila Prabhupada, he said that was impetus for me to accept a downsharma. Because then I could really do it and travel and preach. So we see Srila Prabhupada's book, you know, Leelamrita's first book is Lifetime in Preparation. Suppose a spiritual master gives an instruction, chant in the morning. Prabhupada got instruction, go and spread Krishna consciousness in the English speaking countries. So there is a 50 years for lifetime of preparation to follow the instruction, to make it happen. But if spiritual master says chant in the morning, we can't take lifetime of preparation to do that. So that I spend my whole life, and then after 50 years I come to the stage that I chant in the morning, my spiritual master told me, and the whole life I prepared myself to come and chant in the morning. So relationship. So when this instruction comes from spiritual master and you see that how spiritually you are getting benefited, reciprocation, then naturally faith is a symptom of your experience about anything. Faith comes from that. There is no separate identity of faith. Faith is a result of what you see after doing certain activity or seeing something, and how it is affecting you in positive or negative way. You lose faith also, and you gain faith also. If in initial state when we are very weak and some devotee mistreats us, we lose faith in the process itself. Because we are very, very weak. Is that okay? For your first question. What was the second question?
Second question, if the disciples keep disobeying the orders of the
spiritual master. If the disciples keep disobeying the orders of the spiritual master again and again and again, then what is the spiritual master's standpoint? There are two things which I have heard from in Prabhupada's lecture also. One time he told one of his disciples that thousands of lifetimes I've come here to save you and you're still not listening to me. Can you be serious now? Mm-hmm. He told one of his disciples. So, if a sincere disciple trying and failing, if spiritual master gives initiation, he takes the responsibility of delivering the disciple and follow that spiritual master, or is representative. Anyone has to come birth after birth after birth to deliver the disciple. They will do it. Because it's a eternal relationship. Chakku dana dilali janme janme prabhu se. You are my Lord and Master birth after birth. So, this question was asked to one devotee asked me also. You know, there is a devotee in London, one Mataji, who could remember her previous life completely. She was a brahmachari, she was a Prabhupada's disciple. Forgot her name. Now then she was born as a woman in one Indian family in London. So in 1975, the brahmachari got initiated by Srila Prabhupada, and then due to some, just few days after the initiation, he got met an accident. Nice devotee was going for Sankirtan. But he was attached to one Indian Mataji who was coming to temple that time. And then the result was that he was born as a female body having similar features as that Mataji in an Indian family. And while when she reached her, she was around towards the end of her teens, she started developing devotional inclinations. She became a devotee, very nice devotee. And she was remembering all the things from her past life. So now she, last life, he was Prabhupada's disciple. Now this life she accepted initiation from Jonas Bhakti Jaroswami. So then this question one devotee was asking, how come Srila Prabhupada came again as Janma Prabhu, say he is birth after birth, the spiritual master of this Prabhupada disciple already last life. And then in this life she is Bhakti Jaroswami's disciple. And that's where the spiritual master or Guru Parampara or the Guru Tattva is very broad. It's not an individual one person. It's good. That's why it's called Guru Tattva. The whole truth behind spiritual master is this. So Srila Prabhupada's same instructions are very well protected and given down by his disciples. And what is Srila Prabhupada's instructions? Which is coming from his spiritual master or previous parampara. So it's very carefully given down. So she is still in the same parampara under the protection of same Guru Tattva. So, and the spiritual master is arranged for her to again become serious and finish off the business. So spiritual master protects a sincere disciple. Another place I've heard Srila Prabhupada, one time this, the disciple doesn't follow you, two times doesn't follow you, how many times can you go after a disciple? I've seen my own eyes, very some devotees who have gone so against or so critical about the spiritual master that spiritual master that publicly said they now had disowned him or her. I've seen it with my own eyes in Radhapur. He said, these people, I have given up. I was there in the yatra. So in that case, because they have been offending constantly, and spiritual master are very, very tender-hearted, and they are very compassionate. But if their offenses are actually going to destroy or make them suffer more, then they disown, then they reject. When I saw it in my own eyes, I just couldn't believe it. How much would be the intensity? And that happened after 6 years of hostile behavior from those devotees. And then he said, these people have given up. I have left them. Spiritual master said that. I was there, even in the parikrama, I myself saw it. So that can also can happen. But if a sincere devotee is failing to follow instructions, Guru comes again and again to protect, to save, arranges. So we have big hopes as long as he remains sincere. Any last question? Sorry.
Arjun Sagar, you know that Hani Lab Jeevan Maran Yash Kapya. If Lord has decided something that has to happen, now Daksha had offended Lord Shiva in the meeting. So Shati was just an instrument. So how can you say that, how can you blame her that she didn't follow Lord Shiva?
So if Shati was an instrument, and then you know, if we go out on the street and someone knocks us down, why you arrest that person? Your karma is coming, no, you are his instrument to give you the karma.
So Lord has already arranged.
Yeah, so Lord only arranges our karma also. When we are smashed by someone badly on the street. Why outside people? If devotees amongst each other, be physically or in any way we harm the other person will be chastised. Lord is using his own devotee to give the karma or reaction to the other devotee. Why are you chastising him? So, of course, these are very great personalities, cannot be compared to common people. But yes, to establish certain principles, certain teachings. Otherwise, you know, these next verse, Bhagavatam has glorified Mother Parvati also, and the next verse is telling her she is a weak woman. So if we don't understand the whole context, then we will really, really be in trouble. So just you take one verse and you say Mother Parvati is actually a weak woman, because Bhagavatam is saying that, and then our spiritual journey, I don't know whether it will move also or not. So we have to see the whole context. Of course the Lord is using her, but simultaneously a principle is also established. And if Lord is using her, then why he had to let her commit suicide? She had to go through all that. You know how much killing happens after that? How much killing has happened? Is this going to happen now? So, there is a big lesson in the whole pastime. Thousands and thousands, maybe much more than that, people from both the sides will be killed, and counter curses and curses will come. And the whole, this pastime is pretty graphic. In Subhya Prabhu's car, when we travel ahead, this pastime alert and Bhagavata recitation, the music and all that comes is such a graphic explanation. So, it's a really powerful pastime. So, anything else?
Sometimes, even like initially you said that the senior you should be very careful when you give your instruction. But sometimes also there is like a responsibility with the whoever is senior, like who knows.
Yeah.
Some junior is doing not right. If you don't tell them, you know, there is no learning happening there.
True, true.
So we have to pass on, like, you know, whatever. Because we don't know how long we will do when we pass on to them,
true,
and
true.
Tell them what's the right thing to do. But telling a nice, like, you know, should be constructive, not like in a criticizing way,
yeah.
But to teach them.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. That is important. Otherwise, you know, why this, you know, there's a saying, it takes a whole village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
So a new devotee coming to temple is like a newborn child, and all other devotees are like villagers who are raising the devotee in his Krishna consciousness or her Krishna consciousness. But what has happened? I've seen in this temple only that in order to correct, certain words were used that I have never seen that devotee again. It's gone. Powerful people, very influential people. They don't come to temple anymore. Why? Because they were not on that level where they could hear the correction in that way, you know. Polite way correction is one thing. The other day we were chanting, and one local, one Australian man came. I asked him, "You want to chant?" He said, "Yeah, I'll chant." I gave him the bead. And I just gave him the bead and showed him the mantra, and he was chanting. So one devotee, very nice devotee, he was there, new person. We all are learning, so he didn't know that. So he came, no. You can't touch your finger, this one, this finger to the beads, and you just chant this way. Then I had to signal him, just shut your mouth and sit there, you know. Don't speak, I'm dealing with him, you don't interfere. Let him chant the names of Krishna, that is first thing. You know, we as devotees really get into this, I've done it many times. That Rupa Goswami gives a very, very nice verse. And if we can really imbibe that verse in us, temple will flourish. Any temple will flourish. That is, satatam smartabhya Vishnu, vismartabhya na jatuchit, sarva vidhi nishedeva, etyavela kankara. The main principle is always remember Krishna and never forget him. All the rules and regulations are servant to these two main rules. Rest, everything comes later. So with person coming first, second, third time, whatever, if we reverse the verse, if we turn the shloka around, and only rules are put on his face, then where is remembrance of Krishna? It's gone. Opportunity is gone. So that is, that becomes very crucial for us. You know, on festival days sometimes, many guests, they come. This is the time they come in a year. This is just once they visit the temple in a whole year. And you know, on Janmashtami, sometimes we are doing crowd controlling. In front of the deities, that's the most difficult service in crowd controlling, because they want to stay, they want to take pictures. And you have to make them move. Plus, they should not be upset also. It is a task. And if this verse is not in your head constantly, you are going to mess with many people and they will never come to this temple. There are so many temples, they just can go there. Our place is the only option where they can learn something, where there is a chance for them to progress spiritually much more. Of course, other places also there. But so these very critical positions in service, crowd controlling or dealing with devotees or correcting. You know, if someone is cleaning and you don't see them cleaning properly, oh my God. And if you blast at them, people are being smashed left, right, center, outside world anyways. At work, in families, in society. and they come and they seek some peace, you know, and we do the same with them. Who will come? So that's the I think that is remembered, and we'll have even more crowd in our temples. Already it's packed.
Could be instructing or could be anything, like a person, whoever is maybe advanced, they should know the level of the person whom they are instructing, what they can instruct to whom, when they can instruct, how much they instruct. Preaching is also an art, like whom to give how much, you know?
True.
Who is ready to take, and like you said, new people when they come. We have to be very, very considerate about that they are coming. At the same time, we have to get our things done, at the same time, see that we are not getting up.
When new people come, they pay obeisances like this.
Yeah. That's
a few years before, one devotee was sitting there on the mats, and one devotee paid obeisances. He shouted, "Hey, feet towards this side." You know what that devotee said? He said, "Get lost, I don't want to listen to you." What happened? He did what he wanted to do, and who knows whether he came back again or not. If you approach, you fold your hands, and in a very polite way, you say, you know, people want to learn. They just don't want to be instructed in a very rough way. They want to learn. That's why they're coming. Prabhupada, sorry, you were saying something?
I just want to say the first question.
Yes.
Increase the faith. You mentioned the also in our books, associating with the devotees to increase our faith. Mm-hmm. But if you have any doubts, and just like you just said at the bottom of the class, doubts it. You open your ears and I can boot sitting so far away. And so I'm saying if you increase the faith associated with grace, that's increasing our faith. And the risk of outcome associated with grace, then also your humble attitude. If you have the buffed up attitude, and even if you if they talk to you, you don't get it. So it's also in our attitude that makes our connections. So it's a very, very important aspect in Krishna consciousness, how to increase the faith, because we're always losing the faith. We hear something from somebody or someone, they may be saying their own thing. And so if you, like Guru Goswami said, you have to be like a bee, you go to where the Krishna consciousness favors you. So if you want to hear the wrong thing, there are also people who are saying those. When you accept Krishna consciousness in a favorable way, in a loving way, that's more available. So it depends on each of us also. It's not that you can lose the faith, it's up to you. But it's all basically the idea where we can increase our faith by chanting. Isn't it? But like you're saying, the offenses. Offenses can, there are different types of offenses. The offense to the devotee, can kill all our advancement to spiritual life. Krishna takes it very seriously if you offend to a devotee. All of a sudden, all your devotional precord, all your bhaktis you created, that's gone. But Krishna will not tolerate. So, this karma is one thing, but Krishna deals with everything differently in the case of a devotee, especially. So a karmi or non-devotee, they have to follow all the procedures because they actually, they have karma much more than well, a devotee chanting Hare Krishna, and they say, Shri Krishna and Guru, their karma changed. Krishna has, he takes charge of them. But if you clap your hands with the deity, their life changes, also it says. So it's not that, we have karma, but Krishna and Guru, they can change our karma. No one, even the demigod, doesn't have power to change our karma. Only Krishna. So, Nityananda Krishna and take Chandra Guru, they can take our karma away. At the same time, when you offend a devotee, and that's why I say, I'm chanting for so many years, I still didn't get any, what's happening with me, I'm not happy. Because he's making offense to the devotee. Like, he put all this prasadam in the bucket, it's not filling up because you get there's a hole in the bottom. It's liquid, it's going out. So you're chanting one side and the side of the offenses. So I'm very careful. All the devotees here, like anyone who's cleaning the temple, any bhaktas, anyone, they're very special. They have come to Krishna. So you have to always be respectful, like what you said. Anyone comes here, you've got to talk to them nicely. It's so easy to lose them. It's our fortune that they're here. Properly pleased that they have come here. So increase the faith is strongly being attached to the devotee. So if you criticize, you don't like the devotee. But if you love the devotees, you don't want to say anything, you always accept them favorably. This one's it.
Rantra Chodhavadam ki jai rupati jai rupati jai rupati jai rupati.